is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
If we would just completely yield ourselves, our life would look totally different. And we would be totally satisfied with everything. Even things that don't go the way we would want them to go, we'd be satisfied because, man, I'm the instrument being used the way I'm supposed to be used. But we don't. We resist. And I believe some miss out on most of what God wants for them altogether. They don't get to experience that level of satisfaction, that level of, man, here's what happens when God does it and you let Him do it.
In this earthly life, none of us can claim to perfectly follow God's will for us. Your growth in faith is a process. There may be areas that undergo an instant change, and God's view of you in Christ is that you're perfect, but overall, you'll still struggle with temptation and selfishness. As Pastor Troy will challenge us in today's message, commit yourself to a life fully dedicated to God's will. And when you find your flesh creeping back in, don't waste time on self-deprecation. Just repent and run back to Jesus. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 1 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
John chapter 1, verses 6 through 13, we'll talk about a mission that provokes a decision. I read about a man named Erkan Sengül, who was from the nation of Turkey, so Muslim. He gave his life to Christ because he found something that was real, not just religion. You don't realize that you have just religion until you come across Christ, and He meets you right where you are, and you realize this is not just religion. This is like, I don't know what this is. I'm talking to myself or something. This is the Lord. And He begins to really minister to your heart, challenging you to follow, to believe in Him, to trust Him, and to acknowledge what you know is true, that He is, that He's the Creator, and that He wants you to love, trust, and follow Him. Well, Erkan found that out. But he also discovered quickly that his neighborhood and the others around him were not happy being a Muslim that he converted to Christ because they felt that he turned his back on them, on their nation, their nationality, their heritage, everything. And so they ousted him. They encouraged people to give a false witness so that he was ultimately imprisoned. And in prison, if you know anything about Christians, especially in prison over in some of those areas, it's not a great experience. And so as he was sitting there in that dark area, just crying out to God, like, Lord, I'm trying to follow you. What is this all about? I've done nothing wrong. He's crying out to God, a little bit like Job, you know, and when Job cried out to the Lord, that's our Wednesday study this week. We're going to go through the whole book of Job. But he's crying out like Job, and just kind of like Job, God didn't go, oh, poor baby, let me fix this for you. No, God's answer to Job was basically, who are you? Where were you when I laid out the stars? I am God. And Job's ultimate response was, that's true. I forgot. It's your plan. It's your will. You're God. You do what you want. And he said, you know, even if you slay me, even if the Lord slays me, still I will trust in Him. What else am I going to trust in? And that was Job's conclusion. Seemed to be Erkan's conclusion in prison because God spoke to his heart and said, you said that you would follow me no matter what. You would serve me no matter what. Will you? And right then, it hit him. You know, I want to share the gospel. I want to share the good news with other people. And there are people in here. I didn't do this myself. It's not a consequence of my sin that I'm walking through. This is where God has me. And so, he committed 3 hours a day, he would minister, share the gospel, preach the gospel. People's lives were touched, and he realized, and this is God's thing. God's doing this. And that no matter where I'm at, I can serve the Lord, no matter what I do. But the best place to be is where God wants me to be. Well, as time passed, he ended up getting out because the witnesses felt guilty, and they came and confessed, and he was released. And many who were Muslims when they were inside for whatever crime they had committed ended up, when they got out, they went to speak with him. And many were converted as a result of his testimony, his witness. The arrest had given him an even stronger testimony, which is what God seems to do in our life. The trials, the difficulties, the situations that we have in our life that we come through, they give us a stronger testimony. Because, you know, when everything goes easy and it's smooth and you never have any problems at all and say, I trust the Lord, and cupboard's full all the time, parents are giving you money and all that stuff, and I just trust in the Lord. It's good. You can talk about how God's provided, but God allows us, almost mandates, that we go through difficulties. Because when you hang on, when you trust him through those things, it shows something different. That he's not a fair-weathered religion for you. That he's your very anchor for your soul, for your life. Like Job, though they slay me, still I will follow. Well, Erkan, he didn't ask to be sent to prison. He was there by God's will. And he couldn't settle into what God had for him there until he accepted it. Until he had to go, I get it. I want something different. I could sit here and fight and cry out and go, why me, Lord? Instead, I need to resign myself to what you have for me. And then things went much different for him. See, the mission we're about, the mission that the gospel that has come to us through someone else's mission, it provokes some kind of a response, a decision. You know, when you're in the dark, you have no choice. But when there's a light, you have a decision to make. Am I going to just sit in the dark, continue, go, I don't know what's over there, I'm not going over there, or are you going to start moving toward the light that you see? So, the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John are introduction, basically. John gives the entire theme of his gospel in the first 18 verses, everything laid out in summary form. He summarizes who Jesus is, what he's doing, the plan of his life, and then he unfolds everything after verse 18. It's like the story, the narrative. Here's how it all unfolded. So in verses 1 through 5 that we went over already, John points out the deity of Christ, who Jesus is, some of what he's done. He made the worlds. And now, today, we see a summary of what happened when he came to earth. And so we're going to look at a man on a mission, a world's rejection, and a personal invitation. So verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Now, when it says through him, he's talking about John the Baptist. Believing in Jesus, yes, but through his testimony. Verse 8 says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So, a man on a mission, what John the Baptist was. One of the first things that you notice is that you go from God, and you, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and all of a sudden, boom, and there was a man. Is it the Lord? No, it's not the Lord. It's John the Baptist. Is it it says his name was John. Is it the gospel writer John? No, it was John the Baptist. This was the forerunner, the one who was sent by God with a purpose. It says there was a man sent from God. If ever there was a man sent from God, John the Baptist was that man. The Bible declared that he would come. Isaiah chapter 40, he's called the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. In fact, John the Baptist will apply that scripture to himself later in this in this chapter. And then the Old Testament closes with the prediction of an Elijah-like forerunner, you know, that gruff kind of a guy that comes along saying, I send my messenger who will go before me and prepare the way before me. Not only that, but he had an interesting birth experience as well. You remember what the angel told his father, Zacharias? We can read it. It's Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So John had a purpose even from before he was ever born. See, because God knows how he creates and designs us. He knows exactly what he wants to do with us. If we would just completely yield ourselves, our life would look totally different. And we would be totally satisfied with everything. Even things that don't go the way we would want them to go, we'd be satisfied because, man, I'm the instrument being used the way I'm supposed to be used. But well, we don't. We resist. And I believe some miss out on most of what God wants for them altogether. They don't get to experience that level of satisfaction. Level of, man, here's what happens when God does it and you let him do it. And they make mistakes by the choices that they make.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. So, John had a purpose that was his purpose before he was ever born. Verse 7 gives us that purpose or that mission. It says, This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. So he's a witness. That was John's mission in life. The word witness is actually a courtroom word. It's a word used to describe someone who would testify on someone else's behalf. So here's the scene. Here's what he says. Here's what they say. Well, let's bring this witness in who has experienced something that they can speak from. You know, they're not just going, well, here's my story and making something up. They have something to draw from. Hey, here's my experience, and here's what has been told me. And in John's case, he could take what he experienced and relate it to the scriptures. What did John experience? Well, his birth, the stories. Can you imagine what John heard when he grew up? You remember what happened when Mary conceived, right? The angel came. Well, also Mary ran down to see her cousin Elizabeth. Because the angel said, and here's a sign for you. Your older cousin Elizabeth, who's without child, can't conceive, she's with child. So Mary, it says, hastily, with haste, went down to check this out. This is crazy. And it's good to hear that I'm not the only one who's had something like this happen. So she goes down. And when she starts to speak, it says that John the Baptist, who was in the womb of Elizabeth at the time, leapt in her womb at this news, at this voice. And so these are stories that John would get to hear and go, wow, God's got a plan for you. God did this. It's like John the Apostle is writing his gospel, And he says, you know, in the beginning was the Word was with God. God came, salvation has come, the world rejected him. And let me bring a witness forth to you, John the Baptist. His story and his testimony were a witness. So the whole purpose of John the Baptist's life was to bear witness of the light. You know, it's the reason that you're left behind when you're saved, is to bear witness. The purpose in your life is not to be rich so you can show people what God does with those who trust him. Because otherwise, we'd have a lot of people looking to some of these rich guys who don't know the Lord. It's not to show that you're so blessed and you're so perfect and God does so many great things through you. Your witness is to respond to what life brings to you, whatever it is. You can't control it all, right? Whatever it comes to you, your job is to respond to it the way God would have you, in a way that would honor him. So that should put to rest, you know, something wrong happens, you throw a temper tantrum. Is that honoring to the Lord? No. But when you respond differently, someone goes, hey, you're different. What happened? Now that brings glory to the Lord, because then you should not go, well, I've been taking anger management classes. No, you just missed it. Now you know what God's going to do? He's going to bring more opportunities. All right. You want the anger classes to work? Let's see how well they work. One after another, I'm getting tired of this. All right, now give me glory then. So you go, you know, here's why I'm able to handle these situations. Trust me, I'm just as frustrated on the inside, but in my anger, I'm not sinning, which is a scripture, because I know that God's in control, and I can trust him, and I know he wants me to respond the right way, because all I can do is take a mess and make it worse. But through him, God can do some cleanup work. God can do stuff. And he's always working in my heart too. So maybe the anger that I have in my heart, maybe there's some stuff in me that doesn't need to be there. So John had a purpose, that's to bear witness to the light. We also have that mission, is to lay down our life, to let go of it basically. Say, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? And then to walk by the faith that he does give us to walk in. See, we can't even say, I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough, because the scripture says he's given us everything that we need. So he was a witness. And what's interesting is John, man, he was a great witness, but his life was cut off. You remember, he was killed. Not even so much, I guess you could say it was for his faith. He offended, you know, the Herod family. But they were upset because he said that they shouldn't have been married and in a certain relationship, and so the wife wanted John the Baptist dead. So it's a whole soap opera. That's what happens when your life's a mess. But when you recognize that John the Baptist was just a witness for the Lord, and that John the Baptist was in prison because he was only doing God's will, not the consequences of any sin, then when John the Baptist is killed, it didn't go so well for him. He did end up dead at about the age of 30. Not very old. Some say his life was cut short, but it's never cut short when you're in the will of God. Just cut off, because he fulfilled God's purpose. That was God's purpose for him. And then it was time to go. God has a plan and a mission for our life. Now, I know I say it that way and you're like, well, I don't want to finish God's plan then if that's what happens, you know. I don't want to go. Scripture says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God's got a plan for your life just the way you are. You may have some little quirks. You may think, well, I don't have this gift and I don't have these abilities and I'm kind of shy or I'm kind of extrovert or whatever it might be, and these things get me into trouble. Look, God's got a plan for your life. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He doesn't make mistakes. Ephesians chapter 2:10 says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, these works that we're to walk in, Let me just say this. They're not a role. I think we've done an injustice to our church culture by turning everything into a job or a job position or a role. Because so many are, I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to this. I'm called to be a worship leader, like some role. They just attain to some role. But no one was ever called to a role. The role title was given to them because of what they did naturally and what God blessed in their life. So we're not called to a role. We're just called to do what God has given us to do each and every day. And then, you know, we may have to say something like, that person has the gift of evangelism and their heart is burdened. They can't, it's like, I can't not speak. I have to share the gospel. It's in me, man. I have good news. And so the title is evangelist. You're called to evangelist? Well, I don't know, but they are definitely an evangelist. And they're called to minister to that person, and then they were called to go talk to that person, and they were called to go to that person. So I guess by definition, that way, they have that role. But they're not called to a role, like, I have to do this because I'm an evangelist. No, you do it because he called you to go minister to that, go share here. God brought crowds here, and now you're sharing with them. That's it. So it's not about roles. Following the Lord is not about roles as much as it is about responsibility. God has given us each responsibility each and every day, works that we should walk in faithfully. And God unfolds life for you as you respond to life by faith in a way that honors him. You respond to the way life comes at you. Some things are great, but other things are challenging. And the way that you react, respond, act, whatever it may be, you do so by faith in the Lord, and it goes well with you. In his plan, when you're following him, you are invincible. Did you know that? No one can take your life from you. That's what Job didn't know was going on behind the scenes, but his life was guarded by God. And your life is invincible in the will of God. Even if he asks you to do something that seems scary or risky, I could lose my job. You are invincible. Now, you may lose your job, you know, but God can provide another job, another source of income. But you're invincible when you're in God's will because he has a plan. It's his way. Now, on the contrary, out of his plan, we've been described as salt that's lost its saltiness. Hey, so you're supposed to be in the world, being a preservative in the world like salt. There's a slight bit of a sting, not offensive, but a healing kind of a sting, you know, like killing bad germs. It creates a thirst. Salt creates a thirst. That's what we're supposed to be. But salt that's lost, that saltiness, absolutely no impact. He said it's not good for anything but to be thrown out and just walked on by men. Can't use it. And that's the way you should feel about that. Oh, no. You don't want to be that salt. Some say, you know, the reason I don't want to do God's will is I'm afraid that, like John the Baptist, if I just rush in and do everything God wants me to do, I might get it all done like quickly and then he'll kill me at like 30 or 35 years old. I don't want to die young, so I kind of resist. Let's go through this thing slowly. Look, if your salt that's lost its saltiness, you're dead man walking anyway. You have no use. It's better to die by faith than to live your way.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the Gospel of John and
express additional examples of how Jesus proved he was unlike any other man that has ever lived. Join us then, right here, on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in